to be with you.
Sure. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good. It's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. All right, so I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did? Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you to give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
So if you look in the front of your pews, there should be a marshmallow. No, there aren't any marshmallows. Well, the rules are clear. The rules, you just simply don't eat it. Do not eat this marshmallow. What could be simpler? Very straightforward, nothing complicated about it. You know what the rules are. You know what's required of you. Just get on with it. But it's not just that easy, is it? And all those little frustrations, oh, we can identify with them. Maybe it's not the marshmallow, but there's something else. We know what God wants of us. We know what God requires of us. And sometimes we can debate and discuss things, but the bottom line is we really know how God wants us to live. But we struggle with it. We struggle with it. And all the things we've just watched, we see those magnified in our own lives and in the lives of people around us. And more often than not, we get it wrong. More often than not, we give up and simply eat the marshmallow. But it's nothing new. One of the things we've discovered as we've been looking at the book of Exodus is, as the book of Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new that we face that people haven't faced in the past. So this struggling with doing what we're asked to do is nothing new. God's people, way back in the book of Exodus, they're on this remarkable journey from slaves in Egypt through to this promised land, the special place that God is calling them to. Now, the passage which Hope read for us from chapter 19, chapter 20 in Exodus is the Ten Commandments. And we know the Ten Commandments. We know what God has asked of us. We know what the rules are. Don't eat the marshmallow. We know what the rules are. And yet we struggle with it. We struggle. Would God simply just give us the commandments? Does he simply drop them upon his people and say, well, there you are, get on with it, see how you cope with that? Or does God do more? Oh, no, go back to it again. One of the first things that God says in this chapter, verse 4, is simply this. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. It's interesting. Before God says, this is how I want you to live, this is how I want you to behave, these are the rules, before he says that, God says, you've seen what I did. Now, you're only a few months out of Egypt. You remember what happened. You remember you were slaves. You remember what happened. You remember that I carried you out of Egypt. And this picture of being carried on eagle's wings, it's a lovely picture. It's a picture of strength. This huge bird gently carrying, protecting. And so God says, you remember what I did to Egypt. You remember that I carried you on these eagle's wings. I protected you. I carried you out. I set you free. I liberated you. And then this lovely phrase, and brought you to myself. Carried you in eagle's wings, brought you to myself. So it's not just being set free. It's not just being liberated. It's being adopted into God's family, into God's heart. So before they ever get the rules, before they're ever told, don't eat the marshmallow, God says, you know who I am. You know that I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt. You know that I'm the God who protected you. You know that I'm the God who has just embraced you with love. You know. You've experienced it. That's what I've done for you. And you're special. You're special because of that. And then God spells out what it is he wants of his people. Obey me fully, keep my covenant. Small sentence, big standard. It's like saying, don't eat the marshmallow. Obey me fully, keep my covenant. We know what it means, obey me fully, but we struggle with it. It describes how God wants his people to live. And we need to get this the right way around. We're not actually called to obey so that we can enter into the covenant. God isn't saying, if you obey me, then I'll welcome you into my family. I'll hold you close to my heart. God has already said, hang on a minute, I have brought you into my family. I've brought you into my covenant. I've kept you close to my heart. So he's not saying, if you love me, if you obey me, then I love you. God's saying, no, hang on, that's a given. I love you. You're part of my covenant. I'm holding you close to my heart. So it's not to get into God's good books that we obey him. We're called to obey so that we can enjoy everything else that God has for us. We're called to obey so that we can enjoy what God has for us. So how special are these people? These people that God calls to obedience, how special are they? Well, verses 5 and 6 in this little passage, you read this. Out of all the nations, out of this whole world, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's how special you are. Out of the whole world, out of all the nations, you're special. These are people who've just come out of slavery. These are people who probably think, you know what, there's nothing special about us. And God's saying, no, hold on a wee minute. You're my treasured possession. In those days, when the king ruled in a nation, absolutely everything belonged to the king. Everything. But amongst all the things that he had under his control, there were various things that would have been very special to him, his treasured possessions. And maybe if foreign dignitaries came to visit, the king would show them those treasured possessions. This is what God's saying. Look, there's the whole world to choose from, but you're my treasured possession. You're special. That's a remarkable thing. Treasured possession. Why did God love them? Why does God say to these people, you're my treasured possession? Well, if you go through to Deuteronomy, further on in the Old Testament, you discover this. The Lord did not set his affection on you. The Lord did not love you and choose you because you are more numerous than other peoples. He doesn't love you because, Israel, you're the greatest nation in all the world, because you're the biggest population, because you're special already. For you are the fewest of all peoples. And here it is. But it was because the Lord loved you. He loves you because he loves you. Not because you're special, Israel, because you're a big, strong nation, powerful in the world, but because God loves you. Treasured possession. He loved you because he loves you. A kingdom of priests that acknowledges that God is king, and then as priests were devoted to his service. A holy nation. Israel, this is to be your task. You're to be set apart. Anything that's holy is set apart for God. Israel, you're to be a holy nation, set apart to be a light to the nations, so that other nations around the world will look at you and say, there's something remarkable about their God. Because of the way you live, because of your obedience, because you keep my covenant, people will look at you. You will be the kingdom of priests, a holy nation. But I was way back there in the desert. But the amazing thing is that God hasn't changed, for it is the same for us. You and I have been set free from slavery, not in Egypt, but slavery to sin, and adopted into God's family. When Jesus dies on the cross, he pays the price. We're set free. We are carried on eagle's wings, set free, and adopted into God's family, held close to his heart. Not because we're special, and we need to get over this. We still sometimes have this mindset of, I need to do this and this and this before God could love me. This verse simply says, God chose you because he loves you. Full stop. You're special. You're a treasured possession because God loves you. It's not because of who we are or what we've done. It's because of who God is and what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. So we enter by grace. Love that's not deserved. We enter by grace through faith in Jesus, trusting in everything that Jesus has done on the cross. Set free and brought into his family. There's a lovely verse in the book of Zephaniah, a little book towards the end of the Old Testament, some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Simply says this. Now this is the God of all creation who's looking at you as he says these things. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. This is remarkable. This is the God of all creation looking at you and saying, I'll rejoice over you with singing. I love you. And we need to understand that. Not because of who we are or what we've done, but simply because God loves us. That's what grace is. It's interesting when you read through the New Testament, all of Paul's letters to the churches start by describing who people are and what they are. And so Paul will talk about brothers and sisters in Christ. He will talk about the saints in Ephesus. He will explain to them, this is who you are because of God's love for you. And then he will go on to say, and because of that, this is how you should live. Just as these folks in the desert are reminded, God has carried you on these eagle wings, he has brought you to himself, and because of that, this is how you should live. Jesus says the same to us. I have carried you. I have brought you to myself. This is how you should live. You are my treasured possession. But it's still not easy. It's still not easy. And we still would love to eat that marshmallow. And we still struggle with it all. We need grace not only for that day when we enter into the kingdom of God. We need grace for every day. If grace was needed to save us, grace is also needed to bring us through day by day. We need grace to be obedient. We need grace to keep his covenant. Let me read for you some verses from 1 Peter chapter 2, which again, some of my favorite verses from Scripture. Here is God looking at his people, looking at you, and simply saying, you are a chosen people. Why? Because I love you. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? We're reminded of who and what we are. Here's what he calls us to. That you may declare the praises of those who have come out of darkness into his wonderful light. God has brought you out of darkness into light. Sing his praises. Live his praises. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. These are the things that make us special. God sees us as special, as treasured possession. People who have received mercy, people who have been brought out of darkness into light, God sees us as special and calls us to live for him. way back at Mount Sinai. God speaks these words to the people of Israel. And they hear them, and their response, "We will do everything the Lord has said." What's your response this morning? What's your response to God's call and his invitation to come to him, to live for him, to be obedient to him? "We will do everything the Lord has said." And may God give us the grace to obey him and to keep his covenant. Let's pray together. Lord, we chuckled at the little video, and yet, Lord, we know the truth of that video in our own lives in ways that are not funny. For we struggle to do what you require of us. And so, Lord, we pray. We pray for grace. Grace to live for you. Grace to be obedient. Grace to relate to others. Thank you that you are the God of grace that is amazing.